David, firstly, could we just sort of reflect on, you were saying while the transfer window is open, you'll be glad when it's shut, because you then are in a position to know what you've got to work with. It all calms down a little bit, and you can take stock, I suppose, in many ways.
Yeah, and that's what we are doing. Obviously, it's shut now, and I'm glad it's shut, because I can get on the grass and I can get working with a group of players, and in truth, trying to mould as a team which can be competitive in every game. I would love them to be exciting and dynamic, but that's for me the big picture as well. But I'd like to see it now as well, and I'm working towards getting a team which can show that.
Working towards getting a team as well, in the sense that Anichebe came in as well, Mika's here now, mm-hmm. Kirchhoff played 90 minutes at Rochdale. All those little things are conspiring for the good for once.
Yeah, I hope they are. I mean, look, we wouldn't have needed a goalkeeper if Vito hadn't been injured, so Mika's in after the FIFA have allowed us to bring him in. And also, you know, we couldn't get a centre-forward in the window, so we had Victor, we knew was available if I needed it. So there was one or two things that went for us and one or two things that didn't go for us. But that's what I mean by the transfer window, and you don't know exactly what you're going to get. And the staff done a great job here to try and get as many things done as we possibly could. So some of it was good, some of it not so good.
Presumably, I mean, it would appear that everybody's come back from international duty okay, so that's always a concern for a manager, isn't it, when they go away, and so many do go away.
Yeah, well, Didier Ndong isn't in yet, so he's not in the building yet, so that means that we've not seen him, but by all understanding is that he's okay. So once he arrives in later to this evening, then we'll see him. But most of the boys have returned back okay from international duty. We've got Jan Kirchhoff got some minutes during the week. Lee Catamo's returned to training, which is good. So sort of the likes of Barini, Seb Larsson, Vito, as we mentioned, are the ones who are really causing us the longer term problems. But most of the others are now on the way back, and hopefully not too far away from being involved.
Have you been able to clear up the Ndong suspension issue, and as to whether he is suspended or how many games he has to serve when he does actually arrive?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm told that there's no suspension; it's clear. So I hope that's right, and we can have him available. The biggest thing is I need to get him to know the players. We need to see a bit about him before we can see that. It might just come too soon this game for him, but obviously we'll assess him.
Are you frustrated by the game being a Monday night, or is it actually working in your favour? I know you said you wanted the season to start later, but having a game a few days after everybody else, does it work for you? Does it work against you?
I think on this occasion, because it's Everton we're playing, I think I'd have rather played them on the Saturday, because I think they would have had more players away on international duty, also maybe more travelling or bigger distances, so it might have suited if the game was earlier for us. But nevertheless, it's Monday. We're all used to Monday night football now, and we're the game on Monday. I think the harder part is where it catches up a little bit. The days, like the following week, we go Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, which to play three games in sort of 6 days is not an easy shift.
I suppose you can see the attraction for it being Monday night, with it being your former club. I suppose that was one you'd look at in the fixture list and see why it was moved.
Yeah, I can understand it, and I'm no problem. You take the games when they come along, and I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of people at Everton, and I had a great time there when I was there, and I believe we built up a really good side from being low in the league, avoiding relegation, from being a really big club, had slipped away, and I do believe that we done a very good job in getting it back where it was, on what was a limited budget, not big money. And so from that point of view, we had great times with the players we brought in, and I had a great working relationship with Sir Philip Carter and then Bill Kenwright, which I think for a manager is always helpful if you've got people who are there to help and help to sort of guide you as well, because you want to use the experience these people have got.
I mean, we talked the other day about how you built a squad there which you didn't have to make many changes to every season, three or four. Does it sadden you in a way when you look now, you've been away a couple of years and that squad's maybe been broken up? There have been so many new faces in there now, and I use the word dynasty in inverted commas, that you built up over 10 years has been broken up to a degree.
I don't feel that way at all, because I think it's evolution in football. I think it changes, everything changes in time, and I still look at Coleman, Jagielka, Baines, you know, Morales, you know, I'm thinking of the ones who are all still there, you know, and there's more people like Darren Gibson, who was there. So there's a lot of players here who were there during our time as well. But it, times move on. And I think one of the things at Everton when I was leaving is we'd got to a stage where we knew that we were coming, this group of players was getting very close to the end. People like Leon Osman and Tony Hibbett, who are now left Everton, it meant that they were coming to the end of their cycle a little bit. So we knew that it was going to need a bigger job, whether it be in a year's time or 2 years' time, it was going to need changes. But that happens at all the football clubs. The difference now Everton have got, looks like billionaire owners who are willing to throw lots and lots of money at changing it and giving them a real chance of competing right at the top end.
So still very much a sense of pride at what you did build.
Well, it's your job to do that, you know. So I look back and I think, yeah, great times, but I don't want to be talking about Everton all the time, but I can only use it as something, as a reflection to say, this is what I'd like to happen at Sunderland. I'd like to try a similar route. I see it as a way where we can progress. And I want to give the Sunderland supporters an idea of the direction we'd like to go in. And I started, we had to bring in some players from the lower leagues. We had to bring people like Mikel Arteta on loan, and we went through ones which some worked, some didn't. So it's a similar journey I can see here. But the big thing is, probably the word is the journey, is that unfortunately these things don't get mended in a short time.
I don't know if you're aware, but indirectly when you were Everton manager, you were at the Stadium of Light, and you will probably remember it was an FA Cup replay, and all the Everton fans were behind the goal, mm-hmm. at the south end of the stand, and it was packed that stand, and you won 2-0 that night. So in part, you were responsible for the fans, away fans being moved to the north stand, because it was such a, that was the watershed moment that you realised how those away fans influenced the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've looked at coming to Sunderland, and I thought one of the biggest things which was similar was the supporter base. I mean, the away support at Everton was terrific. The away support would travel from Sunderland, and at the moment, if the truth be known, in the early days we weren't giving Everton a great level, and I don't think we're giving Sunderland a great level just now. But whatever happened with the club or the team, the supporters stuck with the club because it was ingrained in them, and it's ingrained in the Sunderland supporters as well. You can see it. This club's had great history and great times, but we need to try and give them a little bit of hope and a little bit of something which is going to come in the future, because whether it be the dads now, they want their kids to see a good Sunderland team, or whether it be the granddads who are talking about the real great teams, we've got to try and give them a bit more. But I've got to tell you, it was very much the same at Everton. And when we took the job at Everton, they were only getting 28,000, 29,000 at the crowd. And I actually felt one of the biggest things to show the success of a manager was to get a full stadium. And I think Everton, by the end, were getting a full stadium just about every week.
Well, Sunderland were glad to see the back of you leaving Everton, because your record for Everton against Sunderland was second to none. It's only the last couple of seasons that Sunderland have actually started beating Everton.
Well, let's hope that stays, because we need to pick up 3 points. You know, we've played well in certain periods of the games. I don't think we've ever been out the games. I don't think at Man City we were ever out the game. I don't think against Middlesbrough we deserved to be in the position we were in. Southampton we put up a good performance. So at the moment we've been competitive. We've been close in all the games. But you know what we don't want is any hard luck stories. We want to say, come on, let's get the game won. Let's get some wins under our belt and give us all that feeling that we can start talking the way I want to talk about what we can do, because I can't give up on the short term, which is to make sure that we are a Premier League club, and we do that first and foremost.